Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Carolyn Yeager, and you are listening to a brand new program here at Republic Broadcasting Network. My program is called The Revisionist Report. Now, that's not a real exciting name, I know, but it accurately covers what the content of this program will be. Revisionism is about talking about current, sometimes called official, or even politically correct, historical accounts and bringing them more into accord with the facts, especially as new facts are revealed. Fact is what I'm interested in. In times of general delusion, which defines this time we are living in, facts are not held in high repute. Many people even believe the facts of most matters cannot be known, or they don't trust them. Some people feel that facts get in the way of their beliefs. Yes, that is often the case. When that happens, facts are not welcome. But without a factual basis for what we believe about history, we are adrift in a sea of confusion and at the mercy of political manipulation and plunder. My field of special interest and research is the World War II era, broadly from 1920 to 1950. I believe this period of time, which of course was influenced by what came before 1920, contains the causes of the loss of freedom that we are experiencing so acutely today. This is why this period is in need of such study, and why the lies about this period are so thick, because this is where the particularly nasty world we live in today took form and where its justification comes from. Now, I do not have a degree in history, or I don't have a PhD in anything. I read and write, that's it. My writing has been published in the Barnes Review magazine since November 2008. I started writing articles along the lines of this subject matter in 2007, when I also put up my first website. My current website is www.carolynyeager.com. I invite you to go there and take a look. I would like to first talk about the Barnes Review tonight and the articles therein for just a bit. The Barnes Review, also known as TBR, which I might refer to it as, has been in continuous operation since 1994. It's in its 17th year now as a bi-monthly revisionist history magazine. It's the only publication of its kind because it welcomes articles that take a favorable view of Germany in the Second World War. You don't find that in very many places. And that's why when a colleague and I translated a chapter of a book about Hitler by his architect, Hermann Giesler, and I thought the material was too good to just post it willy-nilly on the internet or just put it on my website, the Barnes Review was the absolute only magazine that was a viable prospect. Well, they liked it, and that began our work on more chapters from Giesler's book, the title of which is Ein anderer Hitler, or in English, Another Hitler, which has resulted 3 years later in 13 installments from the book appearing in TBR to date. In fact, the current issue, May-June 2011, that just came out, carries the final installment of our translations from this author, and it's titled Farewell Berlin. It is the author's account of his final visit with Hitler in the Führerbunker in February 1945, and he was there for a period of about 10 days. It's quite dramatic, and of course I certainly recommend it. I hear my music coming, so we'll stop for a break and return in about 3 minutes, I think.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, the online store. It's a featured product.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny, and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am Carolyn Yeager, and I've been talking about revisionism because this program is called The Revisionist Report, and I've been talking about my articles in the Barnes Review as revisionist history articles. Now, I'll continue by telling you that what we have translated, my colleague and I, whose name is Wilhelm Mann, what we translated is not the entirety of this very large volume, but we selected the parts that describe the political, military, and personal events that were happening at that time. If you just joined us, the volume I'm talking about is the book Ein Anderer Hitler by Hermann Giesler, Hitler's personal architect. And he had a different, Hitler was closer to Giesler at the in the last couple of years in his of his life than he was to Speer, and Speer admitted that. And the book is in English, Another Hitler. So that's the book I'm talking about. As I said, it described the political, Giesler described for us, at a first from a first-hand basis, the political, military, and personal events that were happening at that time. Now, the point of history is to learn what really happened. Now, I don't take this from a book or anything. This is my conclusions from what I know up to this point in my life. And I think that history is, we go to read what actually took place in the past, right? Right up to the present day, even yesterday or last week. So after that, it can be determined, or at least discussed, how each thing that happened affected the other things happening, and how the future unfolded from all of that. So I've made a list in the following order of how this all works out. Number one, what really happened? That's the first thing. That's what we want to know, and that's the first thing on the agenda. What happened? And really, but I mean, what are the real happenings, not something made up? We want the truth of what happened. Then number two comes how the media reports it. Or I should say that with my number one, it's like the first thing is that something happened. And, what is it that happened? Again, we want the truth of what happened. But anyway, what happened is the truth. What actually happened is the truth of what happened. Then we have how the media reports it. And that comes up right next. And then number three, how governments report it and record it. And sometimes that goes hand in hand. Now, the government story is the media story, and the media story is the government story. Now, number four, how people react to it and add to it. So once this news comes out, people talk about it, and then they add to it, sometimes by rumor and purposeful misinformation or disinformation. Now, number five, the formation of alternate explanations and theories that become widely circulated. Okay, from all of this talk and reaction to the news reports, what are formed are some people come up with different explanations than the government explanation, and different theories along with that about why it happened and what's going on, and as this might become some of this becomes widely circulated. Then number six and the last one is that from that often develops conspiracy theories that become the new official history for some, and some people their history is the conspiratorial history, which has a lot of value to it and is very helpful, but it's not perhaps not all of it, because the conspiratorial theories and conspiratorial history can be just as wrong as the government media official history. And we will see how the government media can help that along at times. So by now, we can be very far away from what really happened, can't we, by the time we go through all these stages. Now, you can understand that conspiracy theories don't necessarily lead us to what really happened. They can lead in all kinds of different directions. And people are attracted to certain theories of what happened for several basic reasons, in my opinion. I've made another list of that. So the number one reason that people are attracted to what they believe, what theory they like, is religion. In my opinion, that's the most important one. It plays the largest role in what people can accept as true. And we can understand that, because when it comes to religion, anything that would take you against your religion or away from your religion would not be acceptable to people who take their religion seriously. There are a lot of examples could be made of that. But I'll move on. And number two, I think, is political ideology. If you're, if you're very much on the left, your view of what took place is biased in that direction. And the same if you're very much on the right, or whatever your political ideology is, you're going to like or want to believe in theories that fit in with that, so that your views are confirmed to you. And then the third one, which some people might think is first, but I think is third, is racial and or cultural identity. I do think religion is, even as important as race and culture is, I think religion plays a larger role, and political ideology also, in people's belief systems. Now, with this number three, we can say, well, if you're a black person, or if you're Chinese, you might have a different view of how you think history has played out and what you're willing to accept about it. And another example would be the Chinese versus the Japanese, both Oriental, but they would have at different times of history, certainly about World War II history, they were enemies, and they would have very opposite points of view on what happened. And of course they do, because they have great differences of opinion up to today on those happenings. Or if you're Anglo-American, you would have views biased toward that. if you're Slavic or Jewish, that's going to affect what you're willing to believe, what you're willing to accept, not believe, but accept as what really happened. So it comes down again to people are able to choose what they believe as true history, and that's where facts can get pushed aside and be not very welcome. Now, I'm going to go on and talk about really big conspiracies. I'm not really going to talk about them. I'm going to just talk around it. What role do really big conspiracies play in real history? Well, when the truth is withheld, changed, rearranged, and falsehoods are proffered as the official truth, then theories and conjectures begin to hatch. I think we can all understand that. It's necessarily going to happen because people don't have the truth, and so they're going to start thinking, well, what is the truth? What did happen? So more often than not, they're hatched by those who are withholding the truth. Think about this. Maybe these theories and conjectures are actually hatched by those who are at the top of the pyramid here withholding the truth. Well, this then gets very complicated. Now, it takes a clear, objective mind to unravel what has been purposely confused, even if you have a clear, objective mind and are working at it, it still might not be possible to do it. So what I'm saying is that those who desire to suppress the truth and do suppress the truth can and often do place conspiracy theories out there because they know there are people smart enough to find the truth. And to avoid those people or get around those smart people who might, you know, who could really probably show them up because the truth is certainly more powerful than falsehood, they take it upon themselves to supply the public with instant leaders who lead them into plausible theories with lots of room for argument and differing views and versions of the theory. And then these people, which are their own people, will get a head start on the real truth seekers. And they'll have a head start and be seen as the natural voices to listen to. Now, these people will be given just the right amount of publicity, and you might say anti-publicity, to get noticed. Beware, in the first place, of those who write the first books about any new, large, and important media sensation, because they're the ones who very likely have been put out there to lead the rest of us into the conspiracy directions that those who are suppressing the truth want us to go in, or think that, you know, they can keep the truth covered if they're in control of that. So now I want to just, as an example, talk about the first on the scene to write a book about 9/11. I think these people, as I said, are a suspect. The very first book. Now, there could be some I don't know about, but the first book was The Horrifying Fraud and all by Thierry Meyssan, the Frenchman. And then he wrote Pentagate. But he wrote The Horrifying Fraud, I think that's what it was called, in 2002. In any case, we'll be right back after our next break and continue with this.
To freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, my name is Carolyn Yeager. My show is the Revisionist Report, and I am, have now moved on to you talking about conspiracy and conspiracy theory in relation to real history. And while I'm not here to talk about 9/11, I'm using it as an example. And I was saying that those who write the first books after a very big event that is obviously controlled and wanting to be controlled by the governments or whatever powers that be have perpetrated it, the first books are often books that are meant to lead us to put people out front to take charge of where they want the dissenters to go, where they want the conspiracy thinkers to go, where they want the truth seekers to go, because they know that they will exist. So the first one I mentioned was the horrifying fraud and or Pentagate by Thierry Meyssan, the Frenchman. And his book came out in 2002, I think fairly early in 2002, quite quickly. And then the next one out was Painful Questions by Eric Hufschmid, came out in September 2002. That was also one of the very first, and it had the most fantastic photographs in it that nobody could understand where he got them. And then after that, the third one is Inside Job by Jim Mars, which was published in 2004. And then in 2005 came Synthetic Terror by Webster Tarpley. And in another one in 2005 was 9/11 Revealed by Roland Morgan and Ian Henschel. Now, you might be saying, but these are great books. You know, these books were full of facts. These books helped us to realize and break through this, because most people were still in a daze of believing what the TV was telling them and so on, including myself, who hadn't given it much thought because I really was just irritated by the whole thing. Sorry to say that. You know, I think that I have a sense for truth and BS. And to me, it was just like, oh, no, now we have to have all this going on for the next how long, and it's all we're going to hear about. That was my first reaction. Amazing. And I won't try to defend that, but later on I felt bad, and I started believing the whole thing. But anyway, we say these are great books, full of facts, but what else is in them? You know, and today, from what we know today, do they still hold up? Not exactly. But my point is that getting to real history is often hampered by too many conspiracy versions about it. And when people are caught up in all these versions of what the real truth would be and start bickering and arguing about that, then they're caught, they're distracted in the way that it's wanted that they should be. And also, it can lead away from facts. The facts are what is more important than coming up with a conspiracy version. However, the 9/11 Truth Movement has been based mainly on facts. I know that's true. And there are many, many wonderful people in it working very hard. But it is still, 10 years later, it is still kind of it's still not doing what it should be doing. It's still kind of in a shambles because of so much division and differing opinions and differing leaders and so on. And this all started back then, probably. All right, I have a caller, so I'm going to go ahead and take this caller, if I might. It's Dean from New York.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hello, Dean.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you very well.
I want to say congratulations on landing RBN. They're very lucky to have you.
Well, thank you. That's very nice. Do you have any comments on what I've been discussing?
Yeah, I wanted to say that you're off with a strong start for your first show. I think this is fantastic material, and someone needs to do it. I don't really see too many people, you know, refuting the refuters, if so to speak. And I think a lot of it has to do with the reason why I believe these people have such a following, and I'm not going to start naming names. I think you did a good job at putting some names out there, is that I believe that these people want to be lied to. I think that they believe the lie because they have their own agendas. Like you were saying, you know, between religion or racial things and all of these, you know, because like, I see a lot of white people specifically, they'll have some Jewish person that's like twice removed from them. And then all of their seeking of the truth will be related to making that Jewish person feel comfortable.
Yes.
So then they
well,
go, you see what I mean?
Well, I think that we're way too concerned with how people feel. People's feelings, because to me, you know, truth, I'm a truth seeker, and truth is what's important, not all these extraneous things. Well, don't hurt someone's feelings. I mean, if you can avoid hurting someone's feelings, that's nice, but you don't avoid the truth for that reason, for sure.
I don't even think it's a matter of sentimentality like that. I think it's just a matter of, you know, where their palms are being greased. You know, they'll have a boss that's Jewish, or they'll have, you know, but they'll put this pretense on that, oh, yes, because this is the moral thing to do. You know, if you were really moral, you'd be after the truth, which you're not. And I think, like you were saying, you ran down a whole list of reasons why these tactics work. And I believe that, you know, at the bottom of that list is truth. You know, the truth is the last thing that they're worried about.
Yes. Okay, I'll talk more about truth when we come back. Thank you very much for your call, Dean.
Thanks. Carolyn, bye.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? ExtendoVite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, ExtendoVite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is your call to action, America. It's time to get prepared. Food prices, fuel prices, dollar collapse, earthquakes, tornadoes, nuclear meltdown. Where's your plan? Get one at the Get Prepared Expo in Springfield, Missouri, May 14th and 15th, downtown at the Expo Center. Learn about survival economics, gold, silver, emergency food, water filtration, solar and wind power, heirloom seeds and gardening, how to prepare and defend your home, and hear from John Moore as he speaks about global warming and what the government isn't telling you, and John Stadtmiller with what is in store for you. Plus, meet the 2012 candidate for President of the United States, and Sheriff Richard Mack and Larry Pratt. All this and much more at the Get Prepared Expo, May 14th and 15th in Springfield, Missouri, for the low admission price of only $7. Get details now at GetPreparedExpo.com. That's GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you. GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Okay, we're coming back, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Carolyn Yeager again. I was listening to that music and just got carried away with it. I'll get the hang of these breaks. All right, my show is The Revisionist Report, and if you've been listening, you know that we have come to the point of talking about whether how much people really want truth. You know, the movement that is that we all are interested in, to one degree or another, is called by most people the truth movement. And this is what we hear on RBN quite a bit, and people are very sincere when they say that, and everybody thinks they want the truth. But I don't know how much we are aware or consider how much the extent to which we accept or reject what would be some people call truth, depending on all other beliefs that we, other allegiances that we hold. And I have found that people are attracted to various ideas, and then they call that the truth when it really has not been demonstrated. I mean, I started out talking about history and facts. Facts are where we run into trouble. People think, have come to believe that facts are something that they can determine in their own mind whether it's a fact or not. And then we have people who think that facts are, as I said earlier, that there are no facts anymore, that that our information has been so manipulated and twisted around that all the facts have been covered up, and we have a lack of facts. Now, one place we can look at this is in what is called the Holocaust. Now, here you have people on different sides of the fence, and those who are proponents of the 100% official version of the Holocaust say that the facts are on their side. They have, you know, all these things are true. They've all been demonstrated. The 6 million, the this, the that, the gas chambers, it's all been proven with beyond a shadow of a doubt. And yet, if you ask them to present some of this proof or any of these facts, they are unable to do so. And some of the things that they do present are not, can be refuted. And so, here you have a condition where people say they have facts when they don't have facts. And then you have other conditions where facts are presented and they're not accepted because they're, you know, we're talking again about something that is basically a religion. So revisionism is has never been exceptionally popular. It's always been people on the edge, valiant people, in my opinion, who are called the revisionists. And I'm not talking about just Holocaust revisionists, which is what comes to people's minds, but I'm talking about historical revision and offering different versions of historical events, but they have to be backed up with fact. And I get very irritated when I see things that look good, sound good, and could very well be correct, but they're not really backed up by the facts as well as they should be. Now, we have another caller here, so before I forget or whatever, I will just take the caller. It's Dave from Massachusetts.
Hello.
Hello, Dave.
Yeah, hi. I'm inclined to want to call you Mrs. Yeager, but I do know you as Carolyn. Are you comfortable with Carolyn?
Sure, I am.
But are you Mrs. Yeager?
Well, my name is Carolyn Yeager, yes.
Oh, okay, yeah, because nowadays they've made a mess out of that, Carolyn, as you know. You know, somehow, Carolyn, you don't impress me as the kind of lady that would want to be called Ms. Yeager, you know? But anyway, yeah, Carolyn, listen, this is David, Carolyn. Carolyn, I hope this is on topic and everything.
Well, I hope so too, Dave, because I'm going to make a point on my program that callers have to stay on point and have a brief comment or a question and not make speeches or whatever. And I'm not saying that that's what you called to do. But, you know, so that's going to be my policy.
Yeah, my question is very concise, Calvin.
Okay.
And the reason I call is just the other day, there's a very popular caller. He doesn't have his own show, but he's a well-known caller. He's a real nice guy, and I mean, I won't mention what his name is. But he just came right out and flat said with all the authority in the world that, you know, that Hitler was definitely a Jew. Now, I don't believe that at all, Carolyn. I'll tell you up front that, you know, I'm open-minded to the possibility of a little bit of Jewish blood somewhere along the line, but would it be on topic for you to address that briefly?
Well, I will say this. I wasn't going to address that tonight, for sure, but it has been a conversation and discussion going on recently amongst some people that I've been tuned into, and so there's and I have talked about it a lot. It's probably why you brought it up, because I've written articles about it and so on, and I'll just say that there is no evidence whatsoever. Now, we're talking about facts. In fact, this fits in very well, Dave. You know, the facts are clear, and there are facts available, and they show that this Hitler's grandfather, who is the person in question of whether he was Jewish or not, is definitely not any Jew from anywhere, but was a person from the Wahlviertel area where all Hitler's relatives came from, and that's his grandfather was a man who was married at the time that he had relations with Hitler's grandmother. And so her son was born, her son Adolf's father was born illegitimately and didn't take on the name of his father until many years later. And then it was even then set down to be the brother of the real father, because actually his grandmother married this brother, and then after she married the brother, and then the son, Alois, who was at that time about 5 years old, went and lived with his real father, but he was not called his real father because, you know, not to upset the wife and family and so on. And he spent the rest of his growing up years in that household. It all makes a lot of sense if you read about it, and you can read about it on my website, carolynyager.com. The title of the article is The Fake Legends of Adolf Hitler's Jewish Grandfather and how they got started and why they're not true. So, there's no evidence that even a little bit of Jewish blood is in Adolf Hitler. You know, there could be a little bit of Jewish blood in any of us, I suppose, but if there's no evidence, no likelihood for it, nothing pointing to it, there's no reason to say it, in my opinion. Right?
Right, right. I know Joss Rozier wrote a book, The Bible, The Devil's Book, and he's got a whole chapter in there that you know, that the Nazis were there was all kinds of Jewish blood in the Nazis.
Well, I know. I am arguing against that because this is one of these favorite things that a lot of people want to do, and I think a lot of it is purposeful and so on. Okay, well, Dave, thank you for the call, and call again another time. Now, I'm going to go on and talk about the truth, all right? We were talking about how much people want the truth, and what Dave had to say really did have a bearing on it. People want truth that fits comfortably with the things that they want to believe. In talking about this, I'm going to go back to my articles in TBR, the majority of which are, are translations from this book, Ein Anderer Hitler. Now, the articles that we selected, the chapters that we selected and translated, began with Hitler in Paris. And Hitler in Paris was about Adolf Hitler taking his two architects and sculptor along with him, as well as many of his top military aides and the victorious generals from the Western campaign, which he had just won, on the day of the armistice signing, the day before the armistice signing, actually, of between Germany and France, where France signed a peace armistice with Germany. And it's a wonderful account that Giesler gives that of their visit to Paris to see all of these architecture and street layout, etc., of Paris, which Adolf Hitler wanted very much to be able to see, and now he was going to be able to. Because of his great love for architecture and his talent in architecture, although he never actually studied it in school, but he studied it from books on his own, and he had an amazing ability to take in information and retain it. And so he knew already exactly what Paris looked like and all the buildings and how they were laid out. And anyway, Giesler gives his account as being right there with him of how that day turned out. And so because I have an art background, I found this really interesting. And all of the chapters that we have presented in the Barnes Review they all show something about Hitler's love of art and architecture, because his relationship with Hermann Giesler was one of architect to client, so to speak, or leader, and Giesler was designing Hitler's retirement home, but he was also working on huge plans for city rebuilding of Munich and Linz. Berlin was also being planned to be rebuilt, because Hitler's great goal and aim was to create this more beautiful, wonderful Germany for the German people, and this included, he is a very culturally minded person. So this is an area of factual knowledge that you don't get in the public domain, in the regular history. It shows a totally different Adolf Hitler. And when you learn of Hitler's love for art, and not only art, but opera especially, but symphony, and the immense amount of reading that he did in philosophy, and his appreciation of all these things, you know that he cannot at the same time be the person that he has been presented to the public as since 1939, let's say. So our next, that article was divided into two parts, but the next one, we have one on Hitler's decision to invade Poland, and one of these days I will like to talk some more about that decision. That could go on. I will be having some guests, and so I'll have guests that will be discussing some of these subjects with me. And the one after that was the Western Offensive in 1940, in which, now here we learn that Hitler, and not only from Hermann Giesler, who was privy to all of that, but also from Hitler's two top commanders in the command center, Keitel, Field Marshal Keitel, and Colonel General Jodl, his two top, headquarters commanders. They both concurred and left writings about that Hitler was the designer, you might say, or was the he had decided upon. He had come up with that entire brilliant blitzkrieg against France, and a particular way that they went in and overcame the big walls that had been set up, which were supposed to be invulnerable. But it was really a brilliant, brilliant campaign. And in less than 2 months, Hitler had taken over France, Belgium, Netherlands, and then Norway, and was on the verge of invading England. But that leads us to Dunkirk. And I do have a quote here from Dunkirk, because I'm constantly hearing about how Hitler lost the war at Dunkirk, and it may be so, but those who say that it was just easy as pie to just either kill or capture all of those English soldiers who were stuck, so to speak, before they were, and they couldn't cross they couldn't get back to England unless they were allowed to, and then he could have just invaded England and just won everything. It was not going to happen as easily as that. And England is not that easy to overcome, because England has the power of the seas, and it controlled the seas. And as Hitler himself said in Giesler's writings, if they invaded England, according to the Sea Lion operation that they had planned, he said the government will just move to America or to Canada, probably, and the fleet will take off too, and we'll be left with an island with a lot of hungry people that we have to feed, and we can't hardly feed our own right now, and how are we going to manage that? And there was going to be resistance all the way around, for sure, because the people of Britain had been told, how terrible Hitler was, and they weren't going to just go along with everything. And then there was the Soviet Union in the east, waiting to invade, which is another aspect that can be talked about. And so the idea that Hitler should have done this, and he missed a wonderful chance, and that means that he was somehow working for the enemy, which a lot of people want to believe, or other people just believe that he made a terrible mistake and really hold it against him. I just don't see it that way. Now, here's Hitler's words. The opponent was actually decisively beaten in the north sector. Okay, well, I thought I had a little more time, but here's the music, and I will continue when we come back from the break.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org. Or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Well, we're back, ladies and gentlemen, for the last short segment. And so I was starting to quote, read a quote from Adolf Hitler from our translation from Giesler's book, but I think it's really a long quote. And I don't want to just give part of it. So I think instead of doing that, I will take a call from Cheryl in New York.
Hi, Cheryl. Hello, Carolyn.
Hello.
So I got your first program. I've just started listening to the Republic Broadcasting Station because of Deanna, and I just found you guys. So it's great that I discovered you.
Yes, it's amazing because it has not been advertised or anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, I started out listening to Michael Collins Piper, and I just love him. And but anyway, I just wanted to know on your program, are you going to be talking about other revisionist stuff, like Bill Cooper, for example, some of his stuff? Are you ever going to cover any of that, or... Is it going to be?
Well, I'm not familiar. I'm going to be talking about, a range of revisionist ideas. And who is Bill? What do you mean by Bill?
Well,
Cooper?
He was a revisionist. He lost his life because of it. He was exposing the government psyops to try to make people think that that we're being invaded by aliens. Mm-hmm.
I probably won't because, as I said at the beginning of the program, my special field is World War II era history.
Okay.
And that's what I think is very important. And really, I'm not someone who wants to go off into every area because I won't know enough about it. So I think this period needs a lot of review and discussion and a lot of clearing up of false ideas. So that's what I'll be sticking with.
Well, there's Ted Pike. He's been into this for a long, long, long time. And like you were saying in the beginning about how religion is the first thing that makes people believe the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been in the fight for, like, I don't know, 20, 30 years, his father before him.
Well, I think Ted Pike is just a great guy. I have never met him or talked to him personally, mm-hmm. but I think he is very authentic, very real, genuine, and he's a great fighter for the truth. He really is after the truth.
Yeah. And then Deanna, she is, and we also have Michael Collins Piper, you know. So, and then we have David Dees, who is...
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, you're naming people, but you could have a list of 100 or 200. So, but I'm going to be sticking with my field, my specialized field.
I see. Well, okay. I haven't really seen your website, so I didn't know if you were branching out or if that was what you're just, you know, stuck with that. And then we have the, like, Hofschmidt and the people you were mentioning before,
mm-hmm.
a lot of those people. And then of course, there's Brother Nathaniel. He's wonderful. I just love him.
Well, I like Brother Nathaniel, too.
Real, yeah.
And I'm glad he's doing what he's doing, so... It sounds like the show is over, Sherry.
Oh,
I thank you
for
calling in. And, I just hear that music coming. I want to thank all you who managed to tune into this program tonight for listening. And I hope you will come back again next week. This is Carolyn Yeager with the Revisionist Report.